We're going to start off with a prayer, and then we're going to jump into a skit that we've put together just for you. The skit is called Bad Life Group, or Life Group Gone Wrong. Okay? All right, so I'm going to invite our actors and actresses to join me up on stage, and then I'm going to pray. All right, let's ask God to bless our night, okay? God, thanks so much that you care about each and every one of us and what's going on in our hearts and what's going on in our lives. We ask you for help tonight. God, would you give us strength to get through the week? Would you help us with our homework and with relationships? Would you help us with family stuff and work and sports and band and other activities? God, would you be our God and help us to follow you? God, would you teach us about community tonight and the value of being in relationship with each other? We pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Cool. All right, I'm going to move my stuff out of the way, and then we're going to do Once Upon a Time, There Was a Life Group. All right, give them a round of applause. Give them a round of applause. Nice. That was excellent. Yeah. All right, so raise your hand if any character in that skit kind of reminds you of somebody in your own life group. They had different parts, so I'm going to see if you can match the people with which parts they had, okay? Who do you think was the drama queen? Kai, yes, nice. How about the silent one? Krista, very good. How about the annoying clown distractor? Jeff, yeah. How about the church kid? Yep, Devin just liked to say Jesus a lot. I'm not sure what all the other roles were exactly. Tell us who, who is the policeman? Who is trying to correct people all the time? Ken. Okay. Claire, who are you? You're out of it. You're bored. You're distracted. You're on your phone all the time. Yeah. Anybody ever been in a group with somebody who's just been distracted the whole time? And Kayla, who are you? Yes. Yes. And visiting on the side conversations. Originally, have you ever been in a group where there's been side conversations that are not about the topic? Right. You guys are like all the time. Oh, come on. Your group never rabbit trails, does it? Yeah? Squirrel, what? All right, so we wanted to give you a bad example, basically, of a life group experience. Community. All right, so these guys are trying to have community, and, you know, you kind of feel bad for Leah, who's trying to lead them, and they don't want to pay attention. But sometimes we really, really, really do need other people in our life. So there was a bad example of kind of community gone wrong, but I want to give you a good example from my own life. About 2 years ago, my wife Tina had surgery, and she was like major surgery overnight and doing all that stuff, came home, and like life got crazy, and she couldn't do the normal stuff that she would normally do, and she couldn't even do stairs. So she couldn't cook, and she couldn't drive, and like life got really crazy at home like two falls ago. And I wanted to share a cool example of how our cell group that I'm in, or kind of like our life group, came alongside me and our family. So here are some examples. We had to move our bed because we couldn't, she couldn't get upstairs. So we had to like, one family in our life group had a bed frame. So we got a bed frame from them, and we got a new mattress, and we built a bedroom in the living room, basically. Then somebody else put together like a meal rotation. So people started cooking meals, and Ken and his wife Ellen brought us food, which was pretty awesome. And then rides, like the kids needed to go different places. Like Devin had to go to flag football practice, and I think Nicole took him over to practice, and then other people had to take Dre to go over to soccer, and like I just couldn't do it all. It was like too much to handle. And I remember feeling very, very blessed that I had good friends and good community in our life, and trying to like juggle work and food and kids and schedules, and still trying to take care of Tina because she didn't feel well and she's trying to rest and recover. And it just got a little bit nuts. And I know a lot of people were praying for us in our cell group too. And I remember it being a place where I could go and be like, you guys, you know what? I just had a horrible week, and it's been really tough. And they would listen, and they would encourage us and physically do things that I couldn't do, that we needed help with. So that's going to be one of your questions in your life group later is share about a time where a friend came alongside you and helped you with something. Okay, I remember that time. I think my parents even came into town, and my mom helped with like household stuff and doing like laundry because that was getting behind. And I remember my dad giving us some money just to help with bills and groceries and gas and just trying to figure everything out. And gift cards, like our cell group gave us a whole bunch of gift cards, like just to get food in restaurants and different places, just to make life a little bit easier. You guys going through hard stuff? Okay, that wasn't the hardest thing we've been through, but it was so much easier and so much lighter with a family of people carrying that load with you, helping with some of that stuff. So raise your hand if a friend has ever helped you with some stuff when you're having a hard time. Okay, does that feel good? And if you're the one helping, raise your hand if you've ever been the helper. You've helped somebody else. Yeah, whether they're moving or with their homework or struggling with a friendship. Like, we need each other. And I don't think that's new to you guys that we need each other. But I think sometimes we might forget the benefits and that it's worth taking the sacrifices that are needed to help make community happen. And when I talk about community tonight, I'm not talking about your neighborhood. I'm not talking about Hilliard or Columbus or not even really your school. I'm talking about this spiritual community that you've got in your life groups, okay? This experience that we share together in youth group. So I thought it would be good if we started with a little review from last time. Last time we talked about being wired for relationship. And so we talked about this this person over here. They've got their different categories. God is a category. And they do their spiritual stuff, and then they're done. And then family is a category. And then friends is a category. And their relationship with other people is separate. And everything in that picture is separate from one another. Okay? And that's sometimes how we try to do life. We put life into categories, and we try to do it solo, okay? This one is trying to do life with God, okay? God, instead of being a category, is now in the heart and mind and life of this person, and they're bringing God into family and into friends and into the relationships with other people. So if we start with that idea that we're going to bring God to our relationships, okay, and allow him to help us have better friendships, it'll help make the rest of this topic that we're going to talk about being wired for community, it'll help it make a little bit more sense, okay? So we're going to do a little bit of a whiteboard time in a few minutes where I'm going to ask you what are some benefits of community, but I want to kind of start the whole thing off with a story from the Bible that might be familiar to you about a group of friends that help a friend who's paralyzed. All right, so check out what it says in Mark chapter 2, and maybe you'll remember the story as we go. Several days later, Jesus returned to Capernaum, and the news of his arrival spread quickly through the town. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there wasn't room for one more person, not even on the outside door. You guys get it? Okay, Jesus is back in town. He's been to this town before. He's in Capernaum. He's staying at someone's house. What happened in the house? The house is packed. People wanted to meet him and see him and hear him talk and touch him and be around him and learn from him. And so this place is packed out. And it goes on to say this in verse 3, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. And they couldn't get close to Jesus through the crowd. So you know what they did? They dug through the roof above his head. And then they lowered the sick man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Okay, how many of you would would go to that length for your friends, man? They climb up on the roof and they dig a hole through the roof, and you gotta know that's gonna make some noise, right? And then, like, debris is going to start falling on the people underneath, right? And we're not just talking about, like, a mouse-sized hole. How big did the hole have to be? Big enough to get a person through it, okay? So we're talking like some major destruction to someone's house, and they drop this friend down through the roof to where Jesus is talking. I think that's pretty hilarious. Isn't that crazy? That's pretty gutsy. All right, let's keep reading. All right, so they dug through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Wow, that's kind of a weird thing to say to this guy descending from the ceiling, right? Not like, "Hey, what the heck are you doing?" or "Whoa, what's going on?" or "What?" So instead he says, "My son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there said to themselves, "What? This is blasphemy. Who but God can forgive sins?" So now the attention turns to, what did Jesus just say to this guy? And then it goes on like this. Jesus knew what they were discussing among themselves, so he said to them, "Why do you think this is blasphemy? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Get up and pick up your mat and walk'? Well, I will prove that I, the Son of Man, have the authority on earth to forgive sins." And then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, take your mat, and go home, because you are healed." The man jumped up, took the mat, and pushed his way through the stunned onlookers, and then they all praised God. "We've never seen anything like this before," they exclaimed. All right, is that a crazy story? Why would I share that story with you to talk about community? What do you think, Josie? The four guys. You're right, the four guys, these four friends. So here's what I want you guys to do just for a couple minutes is brainstorm. What did it benefit in that story that these guys had some community? So what were some benefits of community for the paralyzed guy and for his friends? All right, this isn't hard. Okay, think about it for a sec. These friends helped their friend, and then what happened? He can walk! So community benefits this guy that his friends put it all on the line. He's healed. I'm pretty sure he's doing a happy dance, okay? He's good. What else? They feel good. They get a reward. They help their friend. Okay, they got the fun experience of tearing up a roof. And I'm sure it was probably good for them that their friend was healed also, right? Okay, they benefit from seeing a miracle. And not just the four friends and not just the guy who's healed. The entire house, remember, was packed with people. All these people got to watch the guy who couldn't walk get up and walk out of the house. So check this out. One of the benefits of community is that it affects more people. And it provides more opportunity for God to do stuff, right? That's pretty cool. All right, what are some other benefits that you notice from the story? Well, do you remember, what's the first thing Jesus said to the guy coming down from the ceiling? Is that good? The guy got to meet Jesus, and because of his faith and the faith of his friends, he's forgiven. His eternal destiny has changed. And just as a kicker and for a bonus, Jesus heals the guy. That's pretty cool. So his friend is healed, he's forgiven, all these people get to see a miracle, community happens, and the whole room gets to experience a cool miracle from God. But not just that, there's more. What happens to the religious leaders? They don't like it. I don't like you healing somebody. I don't like you saying that you're the guy who can forgive people. Only God can do that. What does Jesus do in that moment? He proves he's God in the middle of the house. And so their community provides an opportunity for God's identity to come through. You guys, check this out. Have you ever thought that you helping a friend could have such an impact on so many things, right? What if you, following God, help a friend who doesn't know God with whatever they've got going on in their life, their family sees that, experiences that, notices that, and you end up having this unintended impact on all these people around you. Community is cool like that and can have lots and lots of benefits. So I want you just to give me some benefits of community in general, and we're going to put them up on the whiteboard. All right, you guys said benefits of community, better grades, people to rely on, friendship, being accountable, using your gifts, using your talents, shared ideas, and we're going to add some up here. Friendship was already up there. Teamwork, just getting help. If you're living in a community, having help, growth. You can grow as a person spiritually and in your own character. You can have a greater purpose. All of a sudden, these guys who helped their friend ended up having a greater purpose in life. And their greater purpose ended up being helping this guy get healed and forgiven. That's pretty awesome. That's greater than themselves. Shared experience. How many of you, is it more fun to go to Kings Island or Cedar Point alone or with a group of friends? Yeah, totally. Sharing an experience sometimes is much more valuable, much more fun, even if it's like the dumbest thing. Like, I've had super awesome fun doing the dumbest stuff. Like, I was bored at, like, some reunion family thing, and I was just out of my mind bored. And me and my buddy made up a game with, like, a rolled-up newspaper and a ball in the backyard. And, we played for, like, hours. It was so fun. And in the end, it was like, what was that? That was just hanging out together. That's fun sometimes. All right? Make a difference. Sometimes together you can make a bigger difference than you could have solo, right? People to lean on. I think you guys said that. Accountability, rewarding. And then just having some safety and protection. There's safety living in community with people. Or protection, let's say you stand up for your faith and in your classroom, in science class, against evolution and for creation, and two other friends agree with you and and stand up with you. That feels different, better than going against it alone, perhaps. So that's just an example. All right, so let's go back to our story. What does it cost those guys in the story? What do you think? What did it cost them? It cost them the roof, yep, and it could have landed on people, could have hurt people. It may have cost them a fair amount of trouble. They could have gotten in trouble. We don't know. Their time, for sure. Super awkward, right? They want to get in. The room is crowded. The house is crowded. It's so packed they can't get in. They have to brainstorm and come up with a new plan. Crazy. What else does it cost them? Their energy, yep. Effort, sure. I'm thinking, you're right, reputation. Like, if this thing goes wrong and, like, the owner of the house gets mad or calls the police or something, or Jesus is like, what the heck are you doing? Like, they're taking a pretty big risk. They don't know the outcome, you know? What else does it cost them? Money. You know, I'm sure they probably had to fix it. Yeah, it would make sense, right? Embarrassment. Sure. Like, what the heck are you guys doing? Yeah. Or maybe, you know, like, the community of people gets angry and they become outcasts or something. Yeah, like a fair amount of embarrassment. Anything else? No, that's really good. A lot of those are ones that I had on my mind as well. The cost to the community for these guys, you know, embarrassment, money, time, energy, reputation, punishment, trouble, being mocked or made fun of or outcast. Yeah, all those things you guys shared. So let's change the question, not just to our story, but let's talk about it in general. What are some costs to community for us? Yeah, I would agree with you guys. Had really great answers there. Let me just cruise over them again. It might cost you your time, reputation, money, friendship. You might become an outcast or made fun of. It might cost you your life if you actually put your life on the line to rescue somebody or help somebody. Success, it might cost you, or career, comfort, or status. And I would just add to it, here are some other things I had. Sacrifice, I think you guys already mentioned time, energy, and money. Maybe feelings, like hurt feelings. Community sometimes gets a little bit messy. Maybe it can be draining or complicated or frustrating. Maybe community can be confusing, or somebody, you know, people can get on your nerves, or it can just be difficult. Sometimes being in your life group and sharing life can be difficult. It can be hard. Sometimes maybe you don't feel like investing, but it's needed. All right, so we're going to go back to our story, all right? So what are some key ingredients in the story that help make community happen? Deep friendship, not just weak friendship, really, really strong friendship. That you're, like, committed friendship. Like, these guys went out of their way to really help their friend, yeah. People need to be in it, so it's going to involve people. So if you're a loner, that's going to be hard to have community by yourself. That's good. Flexibility. These friends had to be flexible, right? And do some problem solving to try to figure out how, you know, have you ever like come up against roadblocks in your life? Sometimes those roadblocks just make you want to quit. But these guys didn't quit. They found another way to help get their friend to Jesus. Trust. That's a big one. Yeah. Big key ingredient. Contribution. You got to do something, right? You got to participate in order for community to happen and for it to work. What if one of the guys lowering the guy down with the ropes decides, oh, I'm just going to let go? And also, the paralyzed man's going to have more than just being paralyzed. He's going to have something else wrong with him. What else? What do you think? What else did it, key ingredients to in our story? Believing. Yeah. They had to believe that it was worth the effort to see Jesus, to get this guy in front of him. Right, here are some key ingredients that I thought of when I was reading it. One, well, just their faith, like believing, like you said. Obviously, committed friendship. Some serious determination, right? Some resourcefulness. Maybe you got a friend who needs help, but maybe you got to get creative about how to help them. And then risk-taking. These guys took a big risk to help their friends out. All right, so we're going to come up with some, what are some key ingredients you think that, let me rephrase it. What do you think are some key ingredients for a good life group? Okay, how can you have a good life group experience? All right, you guys have a great list here of what are some key ingredients of a good life group or having a good community. You said listening, trust, being open, maturity, respectful, honesty, kindness, empathy, loyalty, patience, and some committed friendship. And you guys nailed it. That's awesome. Who wants to be in a group that's like that? That feels good. Yeah, you're growing, you're challenging each other, you're sharpening one another, you're listening, you're caring, stuff's happening, help is happening. And then who wants to be in a group that just doesn't have those things or the opposite of those things? That doesn't feel good. People are going to leave that group really quick, okay? You guys, check this out. You have a choice whether to make your group like that or not. Your participation, your perspective, your attitude, your contribution, the way you act and behave and talk and listen and participate or not makes your group what it is. You don't like your group? Okay, be a part of changing it. Make it a better group. And that'll be one of your questions tonight. How can we make our group better? How can we have a better connection with each other? Okay? All right, here's the last section. Oh, sorry, I just had some ideas. I think you guys nailed almost all the ones I had. I had courage, openness, vulnerable, being vulnerable, or helpfulness, patience, perseverance, kindness, being sensitive, some determination, problem solving. Certainly, no fair amount of love is needed to make a group work. And then a desire to grow. Like, if you don't want to grow, your life group's going to be a hard place to be. It just will be. But if you want to grow, man, I hope it's a great place to be. All right, here's the last section. What are some obstacles, things that get in the way? So how about for our story? Let's go back to our story and these guys with their friend. What were obstacles in their way? The house was full. Yep. The crowd was in the way. The roof was in the way. Definitely. It sounds weird, but it totally was. A physical obstacle. What else was an obstacle for them? Getting to Jesus or getting to help their friend. Okay. So maybe some of them were doubting, like, huh, I don't know. Why are we doing this? Why are we digging a hole in this guy's roof? Is Jesus really going to help him? I don't know. Okay, sure, some doubt would come in. That can be an obstacle, especially in your own life group. Doubt whether your group will listen. Doubt whether your group cares. Doubt whether your group will help you. Okay, mental, physical fatigue. Maybe the guys were tired. Maybe they're worn out. Maybe they walked a really long way. Think about this. They had to get the paralyzed guy on the roof in the first place. Were you going to say that? Like, you're talking about physical strength or whatever. I don't know how big the guy. What if he was a large guy? I don't know. Okay? I'm just saying, it took four of them, and it could have taken some serious effort, right? What do you got? Scorn. Like, what do you mean? Yeah. Okay, we get some party poopers. So people are downers. People are not into your ideas. That can be an obstacle to community being scorned, for sure. Patrick, what do you got? Being rude. Disrespectful, yeah. What else? Fear. Oh, the roof in our story. The roof, yeah, was definitely in the way. All right, so let's transition to your life group, okay? What are some obstacles to people opening up and sharing and having a good dynamic experience? Obstacles to community, right? Sarcasm. How about that? I think that's actually on my list. Let's take a look. Selfishness, sin, sarcasm, number three right there. Maybe a lack of resources. Like, you want to help people, but you don't have the resources you need to help them, maybe. Being negative. How many of you guys have been in groups that are just super negative? People always making negative comments. Distractions. Maybe you got personality conflicts, closed-hearted, or not being open. Trust, forgiveness, or not forgiving people can be an issue. Not focusing or being dishonest. You guys had a really good list up here. I love these things. You guys said distractions, people not being on topic, people that won't share, or people sharing too much, being closed. Scorn, people being angry or arguing, not focusing, a fear of judgment, and just conflict with other people. You guys, community is hard. I'll just be straight. And it's not easy to do. And a lot of people avoid it. And most teenagers your age are not seeking it out and not looking for good community. A lot of them have community, but maybe it might not be the best kind for them. You guys, I hope that our youth group could be a place where you could experience true, good, authentic, cool community that helps you connect and grow. But it's up to you to help determine how that happens and what your group looks like. And if you don't like how things are going, talk to your life group leader about ways, maybe privately, how you can make it better. Life group leaders, I know they love the time with you, but sometimes it doesn't even go like they want. They want it to go a certain way and it just kind of ends up, you know, whatever. I hope you have a really rich group experience right now. What time do we got? All right, cool. Go to your normal groups, and I will bring snacks around.